Hey there, future friends! This week, an ape gets a gauntlet and a lizard gets a punk rock haircut. This is the week of March 29th, 2024, and this is episode 307 of Future Flicks with Billiam. Welcome back to the show, everyone. That is right. I am still at it, on my way to episode 400, a long ways away, mind you, but still on my way. So let me tell you what it is I do on the show, and we'll go get on with that. So on this show, I talk about the movies coming out during the week. Sometimes I miss one or two, but for the most part, I try to do my best to find out about every single film. I break them up into two categories. The first is the limited releases. In that section, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, and who's in it. Maybe I'll give a thought or two, but usually that's it. And next is the wide releases and interesting indies. In that one, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, who's in it. I definitely give my thoughts on it, and then I give it a score, which I call the Billiam's Interest Level Score, aka the Bill Score, which can go anywhere from a 0 for those awful-looking films, to an 11 for those films that make me oh so happy to be a movie fan. This week we have dual picks because there are two movies I think are equally good, and actually I think I would recommend them to mainly different people, though I do think they would have a crossover somewhere. But let us start with the limited release section in a movie called The Lie, The Murder of Grace Mullane. This is a video-on-demand movie. Sky original true crime documentary on the murder of Grace Mullane following a Tinder date in 2018, a case that held a mirror up to a society with a problem of violence towards women. This is a true crime documentary, and I hate true crime. I hate what a big field it is, and I hate that not all of these people's families want to be a part of this, and then it's just used for entertainment. It's actually kind of really sick. And it always shocks me when someone outside of my preconceived notion of what kind of person likes true crime, when I meet one of them. Because what I picture when I think of true crime is this middle-aged boss babe drives around in her Herbalife car, pulls up, pours half a bottle of wine into some Stanley cup or something, and then sits down to watch this. But no, true crime is trash. Let's pass this up and talk about La Chimera, a limited release. Actually, the rest of this section is limited, no more VODs. This story centers on a young British archaeologist who gets involved in an international network of stolen Etruscan artifacts during the 1980s. This stars Josh O'Connor from 2020's Emma and Isabella Rossellini from Blue Velvet. This could be a very interesting movie. I like Isabella Rossellini and I liked 2020's Emma, but The trailer just did a piss poor job of giving me a feeling for the movie, and I just felt like it was floundering too much, and so I just said skip this. Next up, we have a movie called Bag of Lies. Desperate to save his dying wife, Matt turns to The Bag, an ancient relic with dark magic. It's such a stupid name. The cure demands a chilling ritual of strict rules. As his wife heals, Matt's sanity unravels, facing terrifying consequences. Weird. That's weird, right? That, you know, you do this weird satanic ritual thing to save your wife and their consequences. God, who knew? This looks like a Walmart bargain bin horror DVD that you'd buy for like $1 or $2. $5, I think, would be too much for this. Next up, we have a movie that almost made it into the next section, and that's called Asphalt City. Ollie Cross is a young paramedic assigned to the New York City night shift with an uncompromising and seasoned partner, Gene Ratovsky. Each 911 call is often dangerous and uncertain, putting their lives on the line every day to help others. This stars Sean Penn from Milk, Ty Sheridan from Ready Player One, Bena Akinagbe from The Taking of Phelim 1-2-3, Catherine Waterston from Inherent Vice, Mike Tyson from The Hangover, and Kali Reese from True Detective Night Country. This is directed by Jean-Stéphane Sauvéry or something like that, who did A Prayer Before Dawn. This movie looks like some weird love child between Training Day and Bringing Out the Dead, and it looks like it's lesser than both of those, so why not just watch those movies instead? I like Sean Penn, I like Ty Sheridan, I think they're talented actors, but nothing about this movie says it's going to be anything other than just a film that makes you wish it was either Training Day or Bringing Out the Dead. Finally, in the limited section, and since we got through the limited section so quick, we're going to do like three or four in the next section, then take the break, is called A Cat's Life. This follows a journey of Clemence and her kitty, Lou, as they leave Paris to spend the holidays in the countryside. While there, Lou enjoys wildlife and befriends Saline, a white kitten who prowls in the woods. And that is not what I saw in the trailer. So this is a movie from France, and I think the American release is poorly dubbed. Because when I was watching the trailer, it was all in English, and then the lips just weren't syncing up, so I don't know if the whole movie is going to be dubbed, or if it was just the trailer. But this looks like a stupid movie. This kid finds this stray cat, adopts it. Great, we're off to a great start. Let's adopt strays, let's not buy from breeding centers and stuff like that. Even dogs, don't do that. There are plenty of dogs out there. Don't be an ass. Go adopt a dog. Or a cat or whatever. Don't buy them. And then, I don't know if it's an indoor or outdoor cat. That part I didn't fully grasp. But she takes a cat to this holiday in the countryside. And while they're outside, opens a cage and the cat f***ing takes off. And she's like, oh no, Lou ran away. It's you dumb kid. What the f*** did you think was going to happen? Also, don't let your cats be outdoor cats. That's a relic of the past. Don't be stupid. Keep your cats indoors. But no, this movie looks like shit. Skip it. It doesn't even look good for a family. Well, my future friends, let's jump right into the wide releases and interesting indies. We'll do four of them and then we'll finish this off. So let's talk about Dog Man, one of many limited movies in this section. As a child, Douglas was abused by a violent father who threw him to the dogs. Instead of attacking him, the dogs protected him. Traumatized and leading a life on the margins of society with his dogs, Douglas descends into a murderous madness. This stars Caleb Landry Jones from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and this is written and directed by Luc Besson, who did The Fifth Element and Leon the Professional. So Luc Besson is kind of one of those directors who's done a couple of classics, like Do Not Misunderstand Me, The Fifth Element, and Leon the Professional are some of the best movies ever made. I put them on that list. However, what has he done since? He has mainly directed a lot of music videos, and he did the movie Lucy, which was okay. He did Anna in 2019, which I never saw. He did Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, which I haven't seen, but also it got critically panned by fans and critics. He did some kids movies called Arthur and the Invisibles, but that's really it. His whole career and the fact that people hear his name and think positive things is really just thanks to The Fifth Element and Leon the Professional. Maybe Point of No Return and La Femme Nikita 2, maybe. And this movie would have been put in the limited section, but I like Caleb Landry Jones. I think he is a woefully slept upon actor. And I think he's that great. I've only seen him in a couple things. I've seen him in Get Out, which I think he was fantastic as one of the most obvious villains in the entire movie. American Made, he was okay. I don't really remember his character that much, but Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, yeah, he was great in that. Oh, also X-Men First Class, he was in that too. But I think that he is supremely talented, and movies like this where we see someone's descent into madness and then learn the backstory of everything, I think is a great way for these actors to really flex their muscles. I bring this up all the time, and I'm sorry, but you know it's true. Look at Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. He did such a f***ing good job that I was so disturbed that I left the theater. And I think this could be it for Caleb Landry Jones. But though, from the look of the trailer, so he's living in this abandoned warehouse, it looks like, and he has all these dogs he takes care of. He also dresses up in drag. I'm not sure if his character is trans or is simply into drag, but either way, people are coming for him, and I don't know if it's self-defense or if he spurred this on, but either way, people are coming for him, and he is taking these people out, and this is violent, and it looks good. Dogman looks like it could be very disturbing, but also has a lot of promise, and it gets a 7 out of 11. Next up, we have a movie called Lousy Carter. This is one that barely made it into this section too, but there's just something about it that just spoke to me. So here's the premise. Man baby Lousy Carter struggles to complete his animated Nabokov adaptation, teaches a graduate seminar on the Great Gatsby, and sleeps with his best friend's wife. He has 6 months to live. This stars David Krumholtz from Oppenheimer. You would also know him from the show Numbers, or he was the King of the Universe, or Center of the Universe, or whatever, Mr. Universe in Firefly. Or Serenity. I don't think he was in the show. He was in the movie. Martin Starr from Adventureland. Olivia Thribble from Oppenheimer as well. Jocelyn DeBoer from Greener Grass. Trieste Kelly Dunn from Banshee. Stephen Root from Dodgeball. And Macon Blair from Oppenheimer. This is written and directed by Bob Byington, who did Francis Ferguson and Infinity Baby. I've never heard of those films. So this could be one of those comedies that just that people just take note of because it's just so awkward and so unique because of its awkwardness or its deadpan delivery and its realistic awkwardness that I think it could get noticed. David Krumholtz, another fantastic actor, he is more than capable of leading a film. Oh, of course you know him as Bernard from the Santa Claus series. I did laugh a couple times in the trailer, but I do think this is one of those movies that's considered a comedy with sarcastic air quotes where you're not actually going to laugh out loud a lot. Maybe some of you will, and that because it's your cup of tea. But for the most part, I think it's going to be more tongue-in-cheek where there is humor in there, but the humor is more of comes from the absurdity of everything. I wouldn't waste your time in the theaters for this unless it just speaks to you. But for everyone else, let's wait for it to come out on streaming, and this gets a 5.5 out of 11. All right, my future friends, last movie before the break, and let's listen to The Listener, another limited release. This follows a helpline volunteer who is part of the small army that gets on the phone every night, fielding calls from all kinds of people feeling lonely, broken, etc. This stars Tessa Thompson from Thor Ragnarok and features, because it's mainly her and the other people are just on the phone, for the most part, I think, Rebecca Hall from Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Alia Shawkat from Arrested Development, Margaret Cho, who is a stand-up comedian, Derek Cecil from House of Cards, Blue Del Barrio from Star Trek Discovery, Jamie Hector from Bosch, Logan Marshall Green, the Tom Hardy doppelganger from The Invitation, and this is directed by Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi, who never ceases to amaze me, who is a fantastic actor, a legendary actor in his own right, also was a firefighter, also re-volunteered to help during 9/11. And Steve Buscemi, who helped save Hook and Ladder Company 8 in, I believe, the Tribeca area of New York, which we all know is the Ghostbusters house. It's the Ghostbusters firehouse. When de Blasio, or one of the mayors, was trying to cut funding for the FDNY, and it was going to shut down a lot of active firehouses, that was one of the ones that was being cut. Steve Buscemi came down and was like the face of saving the firehouses, and in big part, the fact that whichever mayor it was, whether it was de Blasio or not, got so much backlash that they stopped. Or I'm not sure if they just stopped because of the backlash or if it was just voted down, if it was up for a vote. I don't know. So don't quote me on that. But I know that Steve Buscemi played a big part in saving it. Anyway, The Listener. This is going to be a slow burn movie. This is going to be a a quiet movie where you focus on things, because we have Tessa Thompson playing this woman who works on this crisis line. And she, all night, she stays up with these people just talking to them and listening to them complain about their lives, or listening to them talk about how depressed they are, or just listening. Because some people, that's all they need. And what I've learned from people in my life is sometimes you need to talk to someone who doesn't care. Not that they don't care, but they don't have skin in the game. Like, you wouldn't be able to go to your parents with this, or your spouse, or your best friend, because they know you, when maybe you just need to talk to someone else. And I think this movie is going to show us a representation, played by Tessa Thompson, of these caring people who volunteer to do this. Like my aunt, and then I just found out my wife used to do this, volunteered for a suicide hotline. And so I think this film is important just because it brings to light how important these people are. But not only that, it actually looks like a good film. One I have to rush out and see? No, probably not. I think I would wait for this one for my local library to get, or to come to one of the streaming services, and then I would watch it, because this gets a 6.5 out of 11. All right, my future friends, that is it for the first half of the show. Let us take our break, and we will come right back with the rest of the wide releases and interesting indies. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a nerd podcast that touches on every walk of nerd culture? Well, look no further. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is the podcast for you. We cover nerd culture, news, new movie reviews, bad movie reviews, video games, comics, with sprinkles of nerdy nostalgia throughout. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is a flagship podcast of the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network. Find us on every podcast app or stream it on somewhatnerdy.com. Good journey, nerds.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Robbie. And we host a show called
We're Doing Fine. We're friends from across the ocean.
I'm from Scotland.
And I'm from California.
Join us every week as we chat about biscuits.
You mean cookies.
Brexit.
Whatever's going on here. Who knows?
Almost dying.
Why we're single.
Popular culture.
And basically everything and anything that can distract us from this postmodern hellscape we're all living in. Because
we're doing fine.
We're back with a movie called Wicked Little Letters. This is a limited release, and it might be the final limited release of this episode, but I'll tell you what I mean by that in a bit. Wicked Little Letters. When people in Little Hampton, including conservative local Edith, begin to receive letters full of hilarious profanities, rowdy Irish migrant Rose is charged with the crime. Suspecting that something is amiss, the town's women investigate. This stars Olivia Colman from The Crown, Jesse Buckley from Women Talking, Jason Watkins from The Crown, Timothy Spall from Mr. Turner, and directed by Thea Sherrick, who directed Me Before You. I love Olivia Colman. She sounds like a fantastic person. I don't know if I brought this up yet, but she is on that show, Heartstopper, based on the Alice Oseman, I think, is who does that. Based on the graphic novel of the same name, and she plays one of the character's mothers, and she actually wanted this role. They didn't even, if I remember right, please don't quote me on this, but she sought out the role. Like, I bet you the showrunners would have loved to get someone like her, but didn't think like, oh, you know, she's this huge actress. She's a big f***ing deal. She wouldn't do our tiny little show. And then she looked like she sought them out and asked to be in it. And then they wrote her in, and she is so good. She is so good in it. And her character in Heartstopper is a perfect example of a good parent to an LGBTQ youth. She may not be perfect. Of course, I don't think she has any faux pas in the show or the comic. But the important thing is she tries and she cares and she listens, and that's really it. And I think she is a perfect person for that. But what about this movie? Wicked Little Letters looks like an interesting British period comedy. It looks like something that will make you laugh, but also something that will wet that whistle if you like those kind of things, like Emma, Pride and Prejudice, stuff like that. If you like yourself some Jane Austen. This isn't Jane Austen, but if you like old-timey British stuff, you probably love Olivia Colman, and then this is for you. Just like similar movies like the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Society or, The Dressmaker, I think that was it, with Kate Winslet and Emma with Anna Taylor-Joy. These aren't movies you go out and seek. These are movies you stumble upon. Like when I watched Mr. Malcolm's List on a plane flying to the UK, I really enjoyed it. I had a great time with that film. I want to own that film one day because it's fun. But again, I don't feel like I lost anything by not seeking that movie out in the theaters. It was fine from the little screen in the Aer Lingus plane. It was fine watching it like that. So maybe if stuff like this really is 100% your jam, maybe go seek this out. But other than that, you can fully wait. Just like the other movies I've talked about thus far in this section, you can wait for them to come out, streaming or just to own. Because I think this is safe enough, if you like these kind of movies, to just buy it when it comes out. Buy it, pay the $20 or something once, and you can watch it as many times as you want. Wicked Little Letters looks familiar, but also new enough to not be boring. And it gets a 7 out of 11. All right, future friends, let's get to the big streaming releases, and let's talk about one called Wages of Fear, or The Wages of Fear, from Netflix. In order to prevent a deadly explosion, an illicit crack team has 24 hours to drive 2 truckloads of nitroglycerin across a desert laden with danger. This is a movie from France and stars no one of note, but it's also a remake of a French-Italian movie from 1953 of the same name. And it's this new one is directed by Julien Leclerc. I don't know how to say it. L-E-C-L-E-R-C-Q. Who directed 2021's Sentinel. There's nothing about this film, nothing at all, that tells me why there's a remake happening. No reason. Has anyone heard of The Wages of Fear before? Has anyone heard of that 1953 movie? Was it popular? I don't know. Maybe this is popular in France. And if so, then sure, I get it. But as far as getting an American release, even if it's just a streaming release, I don't understand it, because there's nothing about this film that looks even remotely interesting. It looks basic as hell. It looks so boring, in fact, that I would give Six Underground another chance, and I hated that film with a passion. Not even the stellar Ryan Reynolds could save that movie for me. It was hot garbage. So The Wages of Fear, it looks basic. They're driving nitroglycerin across a desert. Like, okay, cool. Do they make it? I don't care enough to watch. Wages of Fear gets a 4 out of 11. Next up, we have a film called Heart of the Hunter, also a Netflix movie. A retired assassin is pulled back into action when his friend uncovers a dangerous conspiracy at the heart of the South African government. This is a movie from South Africa, duh, and is directed by Mandla Dube. And again, just another, just so basic film. This trailer, if this movie is actually good, they should never let the person or people who cut this trailer together ever do it again. I like espionage movies. I like political intrigue movies. I normally like this shit, but there's nothing interesting about this trailer. The only good thing I can say is that the main actor, Bonko Koza, looks like he could be a good leading man in a movie like this. The problem is, the movie looks so, so basic and so done before that it doesn't look worth anyone's time. Heart of the Hunter gets a 4 out of 11. So let's talk about the next movie coming up, and it's the final Netflix movie of the week, and it's called The Beautiful Game. Advocates to end homelessness organize an annual tournament for homeless men to compete in a series of football matches known as the Homeless World Cup. This stars Bill Nye from About Time, Michael Ward from The Book of Clarence, Valeria Golino from Hot Shots, and Christina Rodlow from Halo the TV show. This is directed by Thea Sherrick, this is another movie by Thea Sherrick. I just realized why that person was familiar. Who directed Me Before You and the one and only Ivan. When I was writing my show notes, I had already done half and then I paused today and did the other half. And then when I was doing the notes for this film, I saw this person popped up. I'm like, how do I know this person? I was looking through her IMDb credits, and I must have skipped over Wicked Little Letters because I was like, I don't know why I was looking her up, and it was driving me nuts. Anyway, The Beautiful Game looks in the same way. The last two movies looked familiar. This one does, but it does so with a positive spin. We've all seen these sports movies with unlikely stars or people having to learn some sort of lesson, or like this big game's coming up and they just have to win. These are familiar things, but we're adding something to it. And that's a very important message of trying to end homelessness and the Homeless World Cup, which is a real thing. I just looked it up. This year it's happening in Seoul, South Korea. So not only do we have a familiar movie in the sense that we've seen sports films like this before, but it has a good lead actor in it. I mean, Bill Nye is fantastic, but also it has a very important message too. And it's going to teach us through entertainment about the Homeless World Cup. And I think that's a very important thing. If you've seen sports movies before and you like them, then this definitely is up your alley. It's coming to Netflix this week and it gets a 7.5 out of 11. Next up is a movie from Disney Plus called Madu. This follows Anthony Madu, the Nigerian boy who became a viral sensation after a video showed him dancing ballet barefoot on a rainy street outside Lagos. This is a documentary directed by Matthew Ogins and Joel Kachi Benson. And it looks interesting. I mean, I put this on in this section just because of it being on Disney Plus, that it counts as a wide release because it's a major service. And if I'm being honest, even though I think this is an interesting story, I would probably just get the Cliff Notes version somewhere. Like, I bet you someone on TikTok or YouTube has already done a shorter version of this kid's story, which I think is really cool. Because I'm not sure if I want to spend all that time watching a movie on this. But I am really happy for this kid. I think this is one of the positives of social media, especially something like TikTok, whether or not it happened on TikTok or not, where we can have people who normally wouldn't have had this chance get chances like this because they were put out in the world in front of other people who normally wouldn't have seen. I mean, if you're around my age, in your 40s, early 40s, late 30s, somewhere around there, think back to when we were kids, and what are the chances of us ever learning about a kid from Lagos who dreams of doing ballet? Like, we never would have learned about that until this movie came out. But this kid was viral before that, so good for this kid. It doesn't look like a bad documentary, but then again, are you interested enough in this to watch it? Do you have Disney Plus? If you do and you want to watch it, great, this looks like it's for you. As a movie and the quality of film, it looks like it's going to be, this gets a 7 out of 11. Three movies left, my friends. So one movie left before we get to the double picks of the week. And that last film is called Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces. This is on Apple TV Plus. Now, I don't know if this is technically a movie or if it's a limited series because there's two parts to it. I've seen some outlets talk about this as a movie, others talk about it as a two-episode show. But either way, I want to talk about it because it's Steve Martin. So this is a documentary about Steve Martin featuring other famous people, and it's directed by Morgan Neville, who directed Won't You Be My Neighbor and The Best of Enemies, Buckley vs. Vidal. So we have someone who has already done a well-loved documentary about a well-loved public figure. Once again, that's Won't You Be My Neighbor, about Mr. Rogers. So now he's tackling one of the most beloved comedians of our time, that's Steve Martin, and how he stayed relevant for so long, how he started out as a comedian, and then how he became a movie star, for decades a movie star, and then once he started doing this, his show, traveling around with Martin Short and doing that, doing his banjo career, then he lands the TV show Only Murders in the Building and reminds us why he's the GOAT. Steve Martin is one of my all-time favorite celebrities in any sense, and I think he can do no wrong. And for a man of his age, luckily he has aged with the times, and he's still not only relevant, but he's not putting his foot in his mouth saying stupid ass shit. Remember Angela Lansbury before she died and talking about the Me Too movement and how women should just basically stay quiet? you can say she was a product of her time, but she also did nothing to change with the times, and it looks like Steve Martin does. So I really look forward to seeing this, learning about his early career, and seeing where he is now and where he wants to go from here. And I cannot wait for this. And Steve Martin, A Documentary in Two Pieces, gets a 9 out of 11. So my feature friends are two picks of the week, and there's very good reason why there are two picks of the week. One is the obvious blockbuster movie that I'm going to talk about. That's a final movie, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. But the other is a film that looks like a good quality film beyond just being a flashy blockbuster that would be great to see on an IMAX screen. So let's talk about the first pick of the week for those of you uninterested in Godzilla X Kong. And that movie is called In the Land of Saints and Sinners. So out of the websites I used to find out about all the movies, one website said this was a limited release film. The other said it was a nationwide release, so I don't know which one it is. In the Land of Saints and Sinners. In a remote Irish village, a damaged father is forced to fight for redemption after a lifetime of sins. But what price is he willing to pay? In the Land of Saints and Sinners, some sins can't be buried. This is a movie from Ireland, and I love some Irish movies. And this stars Liam Neeson from Taken, Carrie Condon from The Banshees of Inisherin, another f***ing fantastic movie, Ciarán Hinds from Belfast, another great one, Colm Meaney from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Jack Gleason from Game of Thrones, and Desmond Eastwood from Normal People. This is directed by Robert Lorenz, who did Trouble with the Curve and The Marksman. So let's look at some great Irish movies. The Banshees of Inisherin, Once, Belfast, Michael Collins. We have Cavalry, Waking Ned Devine. We also have My Left Foot, The Guard, In Bruges, of course. I never saw War of the Buttons, but a lot of people seem to like it. So now we have a Taken-adjacent movie starring Liam Neeson about this guy, and he's been like this fixer or this hitman, basically, for the mob, or the Irish version of the mob. And he wants to get out of that life because he's getting older and wants to live a peaceful life. But guess what? Someone he f***ed over, probably someone he murdered, or the family of someone he murdered, that is coming to get him. Found out who he was and is now coming for him and is disrupting the quiet personal part of his life where people don't know of his wrongdoings. Not only that, but we have Jack Gleason from Game of Thrones who played Joffrey, one of the most hateable characters ever, and I did not recognize him in the trailer, not just because he's older, but because of the way he carries himself. Everything is different about him. So when I rewatched the trailer to try and find him, I saw him and went, holy shit, I had no clue that was him. I think this film looks really good. I don't think it's going to be one of the best Irish movies, but it's going to be up there. I think it's definitely going to be below In Bruges and The Banshees of Inisherin and things like that. But I think it's going to be above, okay, The Button War, even though I haven't seen it, below Michael Collins, but above Waking Ned Devine. It's going to be in there somewhere. It might be kind of around The Guard, you know, that movie with Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle. So this movie feels familiar, but that's just because we're seeing Liam Neeson as an older gentleman playing a badass. So we're going to see him fighting a younger and seemingly more dangerous adversary in this. And I am here for this. I really like Liam Neeson. I never saw Ted because I am not a fan of the Family Guy guy. I forgot his name. But I saw Liam Neeson's cameo in Ted, and that's all I need to see to love it. Liam Neeson is a talented actor, and this movie is going to show us the side of him we already know, but it's going to be just a different vessel for that. In the Land of Saints and Sinners gets an 8.5 out of 11. Well, my feature friends, it's time for the final movie, the second pick of the week. So if you are down for something a little more ridiculous, something a little more flashy, if you're down for pink lizards, then let's watch Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. This is a nationwide release. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. This stars Rebecca Hall from Vicky Cristina Barcelona, her second movie this week, Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta, and Dan Stevens from The Guest. This is directed by Adam Wingard, who did Godzilla vs. Kong, Blair Witch, and unfortunately, Death Note. So yes, Godzilla and Kong are fighting a new Super Kong kind of thing. We think from the trailer, if you've seen the trailer, that Kong gets his arm broken, so he gets some super gauntlet thing. There's a baby Kong or something, and the Godzilla starts turning pink for some reason. Look, I love the Godzilla movies. I do. And the first American Godzilla movie since the 90s one, you know, with Matthew Broderick, not counting that one, that first one in like 2014 or something, it was good. I agree with Adam Sunset Loner on TikTok said that the human element of that film just fell flat. It sucked. Like, I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. I like Elizabeth Olsen, but I did not give two f**ks about them. But I do think Godzilla was cool. I think the battles were cool. And then they did Godzilla King of Monsters. They introduced Mothra and Rodan, King Ghidorah. They introduced other monsters in this, and it went a little more over the top. And we start to see where this new set of movies is going. Because if you want art, go watch Godzilla Minus One. If you want art, go watch Shin Godzilla. If you want art, go watch the original Godzilla. If you want something stupid and fun, if you like the Fast and Furious movies, if you like the Marvel movies, this is up your alley. They're like, look at that cast. I like them, but Aaron Taylor Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, not there anymore. Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, Ken Watanabe, Bradley Whitford, Sally Hawkins, Charles Dance, Bryan Cranston. Well, obviously, if you've seen the film, obviously not him returning. David Strathairn. These fantastic actors have been removed from the series because we can tell that the companies behind this film, behind the new MonsterVerse, which is Legendary Entertainment, Warner Brothers, they are now saying goodbye to the human element. They have a couple people in it because you got to have a couple people, right? But they are leaning heavily into the monsters. And that's fine because we can have these two separate entities. We can have the MonsterVerse, which is flashy and full of CG and stupid but fun. And then we can have the Shin Godzilla. We can have the Godzilla Minus One that are technically great films. I think Godzilla Minus One should have been nominated for more Oscars than it got. So instead of Godzilla and Kong fighting each other and then fighting Mechagodzilla like we had in Godzilla X Kong, instead of Godzilla fighting a whole bunch of his rogues gallery, we have a new bad guy in this Super Kong looking motherfucker, and we have more stupid over-the-top action, which I am here for. So there still is a human element in this. It's just taking a quite obvious second place to the kaijus fighting each other, and that's still pretty fun. Will it be a great movie? No. Will it be fun? Yes. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire gets an 8 out of 11. Well, my future friends, that is it for this episode. What would you see? Out of all these movies I talked about, which one would you pick if you could only see one in theaters? Please let me know. Don't forget to check out my TikTok. I'm always posting videos. I'm getting better at it. Not quite up to one every day, but I am getting a lot better. Once my life stops being so much chaos, I will try to do that crossover with We're Doing Fine, Throbbing Lisa, and try to get some co-hosts here on the show with that other segment I wanted to do about classic nerd movies you might not have seen, things like that. But please remember, my future friends, that no matter where life takes you, no matter what your week has in store, just take some time to catch a flick. I'm Billiam from Somewhat Nerdy signing off, and I'll see you in the future.